A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, Bob Hope once went to a nursing home to do a benefit comedy show, and beforehand he was visiting with some of the residents, and he walked up to a very sweet, dear little old lady and said, "Hi, do you know who I am?" And the little woman said, "No, Sonny, but if you ask the nurse, she can tell you." Well, in today's gospel, the Lord asked the disciples a similar question. First, he says, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" And then he turned and said, "And who do you say that I am?" Now, the Lord never does anything by accident. And it says he took the disciples far away to a different region in order to establish Peter as the head of the church. He took them way up into the region of Caesarea Philippi, the only time the Lord ever visited this area, as far as Scripture tells us. This was the pagan region north of the Sea of Galilee. And it was an area where there was a huge rock formation, and on top of that rock formation had been built the pagan temple to the god Pan. And so here you have the Lord, who never does anything by chance, took the apostles right there to the base of that cliff, to the base of that rock, and he said, "Now you, Peter, are the rock on which I will build my church." And of course, the backdrop was this huge rock with a pagan temple. Now Christ was establishing his church upon the apostles. Before the Lord did that, though, he took the first Gallup poll. And he said, "What do the crowds say that I am? Who do they say that I am?" Well, the response was, 33 1/3 say you're John the Baptist, 33% say you're Elijah, 33% say you're Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Notice that the media was wrong. The public opinion was wrong. The crowds did not get it right. And so then the Lord says, "But who do you say that I am?" And everyone was silent. But then one voice rang out, the voice of Simon Peter. And Simon Peter did not come up with this on his own. He's not that bright. The Holy Spirit had to inspire him. God the Father had to reveal this to him. And all of a sudden, St. Peter is filled with truth and knowledge and said, "Truly, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The greatest profession of faith in the gospel up to this point. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that was what we call an infallible statement. Here he was, Peter, chosen to be the first pope, was now speaking infallibly, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He could not speak error because he was speaking as the head of the church. He was speaking on the issue of faith and morals, and he was speaking with the protection, the guarantee of infallibility. Again, it's not something that Peter could have come up with on his own. Even the Lord says that. And after St. Peter made his profession of faith in Christ, so now Christ changes Simon's name to Peter. And he says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. It was my heavenly Father." And just as Peter declared something about Christ, now Christ declares something about Simon Peter. He changes his name from Simon, which is the Hebrew word for a reed, which can sway in the wind, to Kepha in Aramaic, to rock. And said, "Now you are Kepha, and upon this Kepha, this rock, I will build my church." Again, picture the backdrop of the huge rock formation with the pagan temple. Christ is now saying, "I will build my church right now upon Peter and upon the apostles." It's also interesting to note that the Lord did not say, "I will build my churches," or "I will build my denominations." Christ says, "I will build my church," singular, upon the apostles. Remember that Christ is the bridegroom and the church is his bride. Christ is not a polygamist. He does not have many wives. He has one spouse, one bride, which is the Catholic Church. So he says, "You are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall never prevail against it." So this is the guarantee that the church will be here until the second coming of Christ, until the end of time. The church can never be destroyed. Even though the enemies of the church have often tried to destroy the church, namely for example, the Roman emperors, they tried to destroy the church by persecution. Julian the Apostate tried to destroy the church. Napoleon said within 5 years the Catholic Church will be destroyed. Napoleon is long dead. The church is still here. The French revolutionaries, the communist revolutionaries, they've all tried to destroy the Catholic Church. And yet they're all gone. But Christ's bride, the church, remains until the second coming, until the end of time. And then he turns to Peter and says again, "I will give you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven." You'll notice in the stained glass window up above, you see the keys of St. Peter in his window, symbolizing that authority given by Christ to Peter and his successors. When you give somebody keys, you're giving them some authority, right? You give somebody the keys to your car, give somebody the keys to your house, you're giving them some authority. He gave Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven, the authority to bind and loose. And he said, "Whatever you declare bound on earth will be considered bound in heaven. Whatever you declare loosed on earth will be considered loosed in heaven." Incredible authority given to Peter and his successors by Christ. So in today's gospel, we see the establishment of the Catholic Church upon Peter and the apostles. Now remember that when you're looking for the one true church, the true church has to have the four marks of the church. The church has to be one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The oneness of the church is referring to what Paul says in the writings. There was one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So the true church founded by Christ has to be one. It has to have one set of doctrines, one set of teachings. In fact, the Catholic Church has this. We have one catechism. We have one set of teachings that we follow in the Catholic Church. We know what the Church teaches on every issue. Just go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. We have one set of prayers. Throughout all the world, you can go and say the same prayers. The Apostles' Creed, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be. We have one Mass. Even though the Mass may be in different languages, in Africa or China, it's still the same Mass all throughout the world. We have one leader, one visible representative of Christ, and that is the Pope. So our church is one. And then the Lord says, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So the Catholic Church is holy because its founder, Jesus Christ, is holy. It is the bride of Christ. Even though some of the members of the church may not be holy, but the church, as the bride of Christ, is holy. It teaches holy truths, holy doctrines. It gives us the means of holiness, the seven sacraments, to make us holy. Baptism, the Eucharist, confession, confirmation, matrimony, the priesthood, the anointing of the sick. The sacraments make us holy. So the church is holy, even though sometimes the members of the church may tarnish that human aspect of the church, but the divine element of the church is always holy. Look at the saints. Look at the 2,000 years of the martyrs and the wonderful saints we've had in the church, which have shown forth the holiness of the church. And then the church is Catholic, which means universal. It has existed from the time of Christ, even today. It exists in every country of the world. It is universal. Anyone can belong to it. Anyone's invited to be part of the church. And the church will last until the end of time. So the church is universal. And then lastly, the church is apostolic. And these are the four marks of the Catholic Church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. It's apostolic, which means that it was founded by Christ upon the apostles. It was not started in the 800s or the 1500s or the 1900s. It was founded by Christ upon the apostles. St. Peter was the first pope. Pope Benedict is the 265th pope in this long line of apostolic succession over 2,000 years. So the Lord promises us today in the Gospel that this church will never be destroyed. The gates of hell can never prevail against the church. The church can never fall into error on issues of faith and morals. It can never teach false doctrines. It will always be there until the end of time, until the second coming of Christ. God bless you.